with so many people out there that are starting up on their own and trying to build their own business, it is a bit scary at first. Where to start? And some people find it scary because at first maybe it's a bit intimidating. You have to meet the customer, go through the customer's needs to exactly what they want, and then obviously explain to the customer how it can be done and then give them a price for it, for you to do it. And then once that price is accepted, yep, you're going to have to go ahead and do the work. And to many people, this might come naturally, meeting people, talking to people and having a conversation about what their needs are and how much it's going to cost for them to get the job done. But to a lot of people, it's a little bit of a new territory and scary. So in this podcast, I'm going to go into detail of exactly how I'd price a job, do the job, invoice a job, right to the point of getting paid. Toolbox Talks for Electricians, helping electricians reduce stress, gain back time, and earn more money. Hello, and welcome back to Toolbox Talks for Electricians. My name is Ben Poulter, your host, and I get it. When starting out, it can be a little bit challenging to go out and price for a job. Like, basically, when you're doing it for yourself, like, you don't want to undercut yourself, you don't want to make yourself short on cash, you want to get a decent profit, and it's a bit difficult to start with on how to start pricing. Because at the end of the day, you're going out there and building a business, and a business needs to make profit, well, to keep going, basically. And the job that I'm going to explain today is for a customer that I've done work for over the years. Well, plenty of projects have been going on. They've had so many new builds, renovations. And this is how I deal with customers and how I deal with quotes and how I basically get the job over time and how I've become friends with this person over the years to be able to do all their work for them. And you'll find this over the years as well. The more you do work for somebody, the more confidence they have in you. And they will. They'll phone you work for every single thing. Even if it's changing a light over, even if it's a builder and they say, well, I want to change a light over, but they want it done properly, they'll call you up because they trust you and they're confident in what you do. Well, I knew this call would be coming from this customer because we've got mutual friends, this other guy that's a builder that I've been working with on a project, and he said, oh, yeah, they've bought a new property. They're going to want you to do some work there. So keep your eyes open for a phone call. This person that you always do work for, they're always getting their fingers in a few pies and sort of doing something different all the time, building a wind turbine or renovating a property, renovating a couple of new plots. They're always doing some work. So when it's on the grapevine of sort of among friends that they've got a new property, yep, you can expect a call because everyone gets in there and gets the job done. But they had to wait for the legalities to be able to get hold of the keys and stuff. And they got hold of the keys on a Friday. So they went in there Friday evening to check it out, to have a look, see what needs doing. Oh, and they also thought they'd give me a text Friday night. Hi, Ben, I'm here Saturday. Do you want to come around, have a look, see what needs doing? Saturday, that's the weekend. You can get lost. That's probably what I'd normally think to maybe a new customer or something like that and reply to them back on the Monday morning. But this customer, we do get on as friends. So I text back and I weren't doing much that Saturday afternoon. So I said, no worries, I'll give you a call on my way over and we'll have a look and see what might need doing to this property. So when I first turned up, they are ripping the house to bits. They've got everything out, sort of in the ripping the kitchen out, the bathroom out, the carpets, everything. And that I love because it makes you think, I can make as much mess as I like because the house is getting completely refurbished. So yeah, in effect, you can start from scratch if it is going to be a rewire. So the first initial thing that I went around to do, you check on the fuse board to see what's happening in there. It had a dual RCD 70th edition board. So that made me think, hang about, yes, I've had some work done because the house was over, I'd say 50 years old. And then you take down a couple of ceiling roses because that's where you'll find if the wiring has no earth and it's red and black. So right, yeah, that gives me an inkling to think, right, this is old cabling. So it's over sort of maybe 15, 20 years old. But that red and black cable, it had an earth. So potentially it could be okay to use once again. But after talking with the customer, she said, right, I want more sockets here. I want more sockets there. I want a down lights changing in the kitchen, down lights changing in the bathroom. So she wanted a little bit of upgrading of the property as well. And because there was so much work to do there, and I'll be basically ripping apart every circuit, altering every circuit, and it was quite easy to get to that fuse board as well through the floorboards with all the carpet up, I didn't recommend having a test on the property to start with. I suggested the best option forward is just to do a day rate. I'll get in there, start cracking on, we're putting new sockets in, and if need be, yes, I'll replace the wiring, and yeah, I'll test it on the way around, because a leg back to the fuse board's going to be sort of 3 or 4 metres, and if I've got the board up anyway, yeah, I'm going to throw it in. But to be honest with you, I'll probably throw in a new ring circuit or radial circuits anyway for the bedrooms. So with the customer, I just said, look, let me crack on, and then I'll give you an invoice at the end. Having done a lot of work with that customer before, she was quite confident and said, yes, Ben, okay, that's a good idea, but don't rip me off. Well, I can't make any promises there. I did say, mind you, the only thing I'm going to need from you is a drawing, because if you're taking that kitchen out, you're obviously putting a new one in. So I want a drawing of how your kitchen's going to be to make sure there's all power, like for the hob, oven, fridge, things like that, an extractor, things like that in position for the new kitchen going in. And also for the bathroom, if the bathroom's going to change at all, I need to know this. So after that, I booked in a day to make a start, and that was it. I'll get cracking. But it's always a bit of a challenge to when you've got a whole renovation of a house to do, is you think, right, where am I going to start? My ideal place to start in is the bedrooms upstairs, because it gets you going, and that's probably the easiest, because all they've got is sockets and lights in there. But sometimes when you turn up to a property, there's someone else has got a better idea. Right, we want to get that room plastered. We want to get that kitchen plastered tomorrow. Right, okay, so we need to get the sockets in place because you need to fill the chases that I'm going to plaster. So sometimes it's a bit of a rush scenario. But luckily for me, it wasn't on this one. So the first thing that I did was to test the upstairs sockets. Make sure that the upstairs sockets were separated from the downstairs sockets and things like that. So I went around at first and tested every socket. Just loop tested it, tripped the RCD to make sure that that socket was on one circuit. And then once I found the circuit of the upstairs ring main, which it was, I tested that circuit to make sure that them cables, you could be able to use them, because I didn't want to go routing new cables in and extending that circuit if the bleeding cables are no good. If the insulation resistance was deteriorated over time, then it's going to be a waste of time, because that socket's never going to work properly, or not last, basically. If it's got a high resistance in it, the condition it's in at the moment, you might as well throw a new leg in back to the board. So this was my plan with that. But after having a decent reading on the insulation resistance, I thought, well, there's no point in replacing that cable. It's in quite good condition. So the ring main upstairs, I thought I'd split into two 16-amp radials. In my eyes, this makes it better, because if there is a problem in one bedroom on a 16-amp radial, because what are they going to plug into a better bedroom? Your phone charger, your TV, nothing drastic. So having a 16-amp supply to the bedroom is not going to be a problem. And especially if you've got a ring circuit upstairs, you can split that. So there's two 16-amp radials. Obviously, you can have 20 amps as well, but I just do them in 16-amp radials for the three-bedroom property. One's a small bedroom, so a couple of computers. Each bedroom, what I plan to do, the small bedroom with three sockets, which you had one, and then the two big bedrooms, I was going to put one in each corner sort of thing, so it's convenient. So they'll have four sockets in each room. So that's not many sockets on one circuit, really. So that was my idea, to split the ring and make two circuits out of that ring circuit. And when looking at the board, that 17th edition board, it was an old Wilex board. Well, not an old Wilex board, but it was a Screwfix jobby board with a 17th edition with the MCBs. And you can easily get hold of them MCBs. So it was not a problem to rip that 32 amp out and put a couple of 16s in. And I know what you're going to say or what you're thinking. Why don't you upgrade that board, you tight ass? Well, with this property being a flip of renovation, the flip, they want to keep the budgets low. I'll obviously give the customer the option to say, look, do you want to upgrade the board? But 9 times out of 10, if they don't need to upgrade the board, it's not a necessary thing that you have to do. Yet no one's going to do it. They're not going to spend an extra £500-600 to upgrade the board when you can obviously use the board what's there. It's a 17th edition board. It's probably been in there for, 5 years? So there's no point in upgrading it at the time if it's not needed. But yeah. And one little thing that I did do while I was there as well is, even though they didn't ask for a a front light sort of thing. I thought, well, I've got them floorboards up and I can drill at a nice angle. Don't make any more mess downstairs. No chases. Nice angle. I can put a nice PIR light at the front door, which makes it convenient. And to be honest with you, it puts you in a bit of a good books with the customer as well, because you've got to use your nugget sometimes, because if you suggest like smoke alarms, lighting, PIR lighting, it gives them the option. But if you're in the area and I just think I might as well shove a cable in for an outside light, front light, it'll make the house a better property because I know they're going to resell it. And it's little things like this as well that will make the customer think, right, yeah, this is why I hired Ben to do the job, because he uses his nugget. And I think, I didn't think of an outside light. A lot of people, when you're walking around, they don't think, say, oh, yeah, I need a socket there, I need a socket here. And electricians, I suppose, because you do it all the time, you think, well, where's your fridge going to go? It's going to go over there. Well, you ain't got a socket there. Oh, yeah. So, okay, I'll put a socket in. These are the things that maybe help a customer figure out. That's why I think that a lot of customers use me as their electrician, because I do help them design it in a way as well, design the property of where the electrics are going to go. And there was another job that I stumbled across in this property as well. The upstairs live neutral earth to the lighting, it just came up in the middle of the wall. I don't know why. It was in a bit of mini trunking. Maybe it was rewired later on at a later date. It must have had a damage in there. But I had to reroute that as well. You can't have it going up in the middle of a wall because someone's going to put a picture up there. It's not really kind of a convenient place. So I took that out and rewired it up with the two-way switching in the hallway. Because these little things, they do come around. You figure out, the more you dive deeper into a property, once you're doing it, you'll find, yeah, this needs doing, that needs doing, really. So if it's a new customer, the best idea, if you're going at it like this, is to say, look, what's your budget? I'll crack on, let you know when we're getting near that budget, or more than likely, when we're going over that budget. Because people don't see electrics, do they? So they don't really think, oh, yeah, £500 to do the electrics, change the sockets and switches. Not if it needs to be rewired. This is the thing. It's not £500. That's £500 for like a day in there with a few materials. If you're there for a couple of days or maybe 3 or 4 days, it's going to double that at least. And you want to let the customer know if they're going to go over budget, because the last thing you want to do is put your bill in to say, right, yeah, I know your budget was £500, but that's £1,500. That's going to cause tension with your customer. They're going to say, well, hang about, we told you our budget, it weren't that much. So let the customer know via maybe email, especially if it's a new customer. Send them an email, all on paper, so they've got it. So you can say, look, I told you this is going to be how much it is. And you don't have to have that argument at the end once you send your invoice. But on this particular job, I know I've worked a lot with this customer, so I know for a fact that if I say anything he's doing, she's going to trust me and I'm going to get it done. So then after a few days, I was hanging around in that house and, well, basically on my own. It was lovely. I love being on a property on my own when you can leave all your kit out. You don't have to move it around for the painter or the plaster or the plumber. You can get in there, do your bit and get the hell out. I like that. It's a lot more convenient. So after a couple of days of being in there, I was done and dusted. All I had to do is put a test on the property, basically test the whole lot to make sure my work is safe and sound, and also the rest of the house is safe and sound, because even if they're selling the property or renting the property out, that test certificate is going to come in handy. And another thing what I like to do as well is get the customer with me and walk around and explain to them exactly what I've done. Like, I've pulled the wires down here, so this is where it feeds the sockets. Or if it's upstairs, for example, the wires come up to each socket. So basically letting you know, don't put a picture somewhere in that area. Downstairs, yes, the wires might come down, or it depends sort of thing. I think in that house, yes, it did come down from upstairs because the floor was concrete at the bottom. So yeah, you can let them know where you've rooted the wires, what needs filling in for the plaster to chases and stuff like that, and how you've done it possibly in a way. And just explain to them, yes, this is protected by an RCD on this side of the 17th edition board. I know sometimes it goes above and beyond a customer's head, but the more information that you give a customer, then I think the more they appreciate it to think, yeah, this guy knows what he's talking about. Half the people don't even listen to me when I'm talking about how I've done it, how it's protected, what size fuse. But it makes me feel better speaking out loud to the customer to say, look, I've done it in this size cable, this size fuse for this reason. and why I've split the ring circuit maybe in the bedrooms, because it's very convenient for testing and very convenient if there's any faults. Basically, you've got two circuits upstairs rather than one. Yes, it's took up another way in your board, but it's convenient. You probably won't use that way in your board anyway, unless you get hot tub outside. And another reason I like to talk the customer through what I've just done is because when they get the invoice, I don't know, a lot of people all the time, they always say, oh, that's a lot of money. Well, I explained to you what I've done, and that weren't for free. So that is why it's a lot of money. So if you explain to a customer what you've done, they'll understand a little bit more why you're charging so much. So to be able to determine the invoice with my hours and the materials that I've used, every time I went to the wholesalers, I'll use that address as a reference note on the invoice from the wholesalers. So when they're sending the invoice, it'll say certain address, and then I'll dictate all their materials basically to that job. Because how many times have you been in there when you've maybe put a couple of extractor fans in? And I forgot to charge them for the duct. The duct, it might be £3 or £4, but then £3 or £4, when you miss out, they add up. And a lot of the time as well, you've got Wagos, screws, raw plugs, all that in the van already. So you're not going to go and buy a load more for that specific job. So they'll come down in your invoice as sundries. So I'll put like maybe a £25 charge for basically sundries of what I've used. So that'll cover me from screws, raw plugs. Might have to be 30 these days with the Wagos that I use. But this is what, so it covers you for everything that you use. And then on that invoice, for example, I will put on there, install 6 LED downlights in kitchen area. So much, say £300. That's it. I won't bother putting in there saying I use 10 meters of cable, 6 Wagos, 3 of these six of these lights, and maybe a light switch. I don't detail the materials. And the reason for that is because a lot of customers, if you say I used one gang two-way switch, they'll go on the internet and say, yeah, you charged me £2.50 for that one gang one-way switch. You can get it for 99p, yeah? There's a reason that's 99p and I don't use it. But I don't want to have to justify me using decent materials. I will tell you how much the job's going to be, use exactly what materials I want to use to get that job done, and you pay for it. That's how it should work. It's going to take you too much time to dictate every single piece of material down on the invoice of what you've used. And if a customer wants an itemized invoice, they're probably not the sort of customer that you want to work for in the future anyway, because the only thing they want that itemized bill is to compare yourself against Screwfix or Toolstation, of where they could probably get hold of a metal box or a two-gang socket. No. Like, there's a reason you use decent materials, because you don't want to have to go back. I've put these rubbish sockets in before that people have got hold of Amazon. Oh, it doesn't work. Yeah, well, it's because it's crap. Like, this is why. It won't work. You want to install a decent one. I know these ones were chrome. Well, they're not even chrome plated half the time. They're painted on chrome. The plastic painted chrome sockets. And they were pants. They were rubbish. So I said, okay, you can get these ones, but they are 12 quid a piece. They're a lot better. Oh no, I can get these ones from Amazon. Well, that's your choice, but I'm not interested in people penny pinching. Like, this is why I like to say, right, if you want me to do the job, I will take £300 off you. I'll go in there, do the 6 sockets, and they'll work spot on. Don't care what materials I've used. You can trust me that they're good. And then also with an invoice for a domestic premises, I don't know. A lot of the time, you want pain as soon as you send that invoice, really. But if it's not convenient at the time, you at least want 7 days. Give them 7 days to say, look, when you sort it out, when you get around to your internet banking, sort it out or anything like that, there, yeah, they pay the invoice. I don't want to wait 30 days. It's not how it works in domestic, I don't think. Once you've done the job and it's all done and dusted and you're happy, you want pain. And the way that I send the invoice is via email, because I don't know, it just saves a lot of time these days. And you can also, if it's the first time that you've emailed them, you can give them a text or a ring to say, to get that email, it's got the invoice attached to it. And then also in that email, you want to just say to them, look, I've completed the job, thank you very much. If you have any problems, please feel free to contact me, because a customer is more than likely to send you an email or a text if they have a problem or a concern. That might be something that you can sort of sort out when they say, well, a lot of customers might say, well, I didn't realise there'd be so much mess or chases. Okay, I cleaned up as much as I could. You can justify it, say, look, I'm sorry, I could fill the chases in, but I'm not a plasterer, I will do a rubbish job. That's what I say a lot of the time, because I've tried to fill plastering in before. I'm not a plasterer, I'm pants at it. So that's for somebody else to do. It's another profession, it's another skill. So that's for someone else to do. But the whole reason for asking as well, to give them the option to say, if you've got any problems, is because you want to keep that customer happy. You want them to recommend you to their family and their friends to help build your business. Because if you don't give them the opportunity to say, yes, I'm not happy with this, it'll grind their gears, basically, and they'll talk about it with their family and friends rather than saying, this guy done a fantastic job. They'll say, yeah, he turned up and did the job, but this is what he done wrong. So give them the option to say, is there anything that you've got a problem with that maybe I can resolve? Because remember, a reputation, it can take you a lifetime to build, but I guarantee you, it can be wrecked in 5 minutes. And this is basically typically how most of my jobs work these days. People call me up, I'll have a cup of tea, see what it's doing, and then book in a day for it to get it done. And I think this is very convenient for me these days. I don't have to give them a quote and say how much it's going to cost and get it on paper and hold them to that quote, because I know a lot of these customers. I've done work for them in the past, and you've sort of grown that relationship, and a lot of them have. They've become friends. So in this podcast, I've tried to explain running your own business. It is pretty simple in my eyes. Yes, when you start out, it can be challenging, it can be tough. And a lot of people say, you never get sleep, you're always doing something, you're always doing paperwork, you're always doing work, you're always getting calls. But you don't have to run it like that. You can do whatever you want. It's your business at the end of the day. So I don't think it is as hard as maybe other electricians, they say. Yeah, running your business, it is hectic, it's hard. It's just hard at first. It gets a lot easier over time. The more you do invoices, the quicker it gets. The more you do a quote, the easier it gets. It's like anything in life. All you need to do is have the right tools and figure out how to use them. And I'll leave a link in the show notes to a few tools that I use in my business that might benefit you in your business too. So until next time, I'll see you again.